Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on the honorable and noble listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Live. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. Really, the co-host of today's broadcast is none other than Brother Imam Yusuf Abdusalam. And pardon me, my introducing our dear brother and dear friend. I would like to just make some housekeeping announcements. One, tomorrow we will have a robust discussion. I've invited one of the key persons in that discussion to be Imam Mubashir Ukta. And I've reached out to him. We want to have a discussion, really, what happened at the Imam's meeting. Was Imam Bashir Ali, was he there? Did anybody get thrown out of the meeting? There's a lot of controversy. We don't want this to be a continuous dialogue. Let's nip it in the bud. That's number one. Number two, on Monday, we will continue the discussion of the convention. It's important. In the state of Muscat, with Imam Mahmoud Ansari, who is the president of the NAACP of Hartford, Connecticut. Secondly, yes.
Salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Imam Salam.
Yes.
We'll bring you on shortly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what you want me to do?
Can you stand by for a minute?
Okay, you want me to call the number back or stay on here?
No, sir, just stay on. I'm going to have you on in about a minute. About a minute and a half. I just wanted to take care of a few household announcements while we get this captive audience. And that's going to be, I'm sorry, the Tuesday will be an interview with me in an 8-part series by Sister Coral Kadar. And now we're ready for the program of today, our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. I want to reintroduce him to our audience. First of all, he's an outstanding citizen, born in the state of Georgia, a graduate of the University of Georgia. 60 years ago, if we thought about even going on the University of Georgia campus, we would have been put in a mental hospital. And he then went on to the University of Miami Law School, graduated there, University of Wisconsin, Madison, an LLM, one of the few attorneys in the United States to receive such distinction, professor at law at the Syracuse University College of Law. And he also is an imam and a great ardent student of Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad. So we need to know this, that we don't have any jacklegs on the panel. We have persons who have been qualified, bona fide, and certified, not by hook, not by crook, because they have claimed, I heard, not because he has degrees, he has decided to claim his heritage that God has given him of human dignity, which the creator of the heavens and earth gave him through one of the ex-laws found, Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad. He's no longer lost. He's found. So without a further ado, I just want to bring that background to you and remind you to continue to listen to Religion Means Alive every day at 6 o'clock and 3 o'clock on Sunday, where we will be addressing the business of survival. So without a further ado, let's have with us our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, whom we are waiting anxiously to discuss the current and past events and give us the perspective of our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad. I introduce the psalm and present to others Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, coming to us from the last battle station of the Civil Rights Movement in Selma, Alabama, former legislator in Alabama. And reason I bring this to your attention, because 60 years ago, if I thought that an African-American Muslim would have been in an Alabama house doing anything but cleaning the floors, I would have been deemed crazy. But God, in his magnificent way, has wonders to perform, has performed a miracle. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. Thank him for the gift and blessing of the model human being, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of Allah. And what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible as it is given in Quran. Dearly beloved people, audience, Muslims, believers, brothers and sisters from the Abrahamic trilogy, sons and daughters of Adam, agnostics, and yes, we'll even challenge the extreme materialists and the atheists to come back to the excellent human family, and we can embrace them and dialogue with them. And we greet everyone with the greeting of peace be unto you. I salute those very kind words of Brother Imam Afrid Muhammad. He was very generous, and he cannot be any more generous to me than I can be to him. And let us just acknowledge the wonderful work that he's doing with this Religion Means Alive ministry. When others have cowed like pups with the tail between their legs, refusing to forthrightly, unequivocally, and boldly air the wonderful message that Allah gave to Imam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Brother Afrid, Brother Imam Afrid Muhammad, is unswervingly doing that. And because of that outstanding service, we ask Allah to forgive him of his sins and his imperfections. We ask Allah to grant him the blessings of paradise, save him from the torment of the fire, and oh yes, if he will, if it's in his great will, elevate him into a station in the heavens that he will be well pleased. Dearly beloved people, we are dealing with some very serious matters, events that were prophesied in world scripture. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, blatantly expressing themselves through the orchestration of our Lord in a manner as the Bible so poetically expressed, where all eyes can see. Where all eyes can see. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is demonstrating in this day and time that to him belong the mulk, the dominion, and that Allah, highly glorified is he, firmly established on the throne of authority. Let me say, the Imam laid out my credentials in a worldly, secular sense, and I thank Allah for even that. My mother, I think, completed only the first grade, and my father only the third. My mother came out of migration, farm, and tradition, where in Florida, and they migrated north to northern areas to pick vegetables and went back to Florida to pick more vegetables. And my father, Chilton County sharecropper, and he and his dad went into the woods with a mule They all lumber and timber on a mule all day long. So with that kind of tradition, I must acknowledge that I'm merely a donkey speaking with a man's voice. In Allah, to his servant, Imam, the late Imam Wahduddin Muhammad, Allah opened the eyes of this donkey. Allah opened the eyes and ears and loosened the tongue of this donkey. And now he's ready to stand before the world and talk about debunking the myth of Ham, reflection on the life of a blessed Imam. And by blessed Imam, I mean Imam Wahduddin Muhammad, and doing this, may God forgive him of his sin and raise him to a high plane, a high plane. May he look down from a mighty height in the paradise. May he look down from a mighty height in the paradise. And during midweek, before the commander-in-chief, not over America, but over the entire civilized world, went to the land of Wallace and led the European nation as commander-in-chief, rallied about 10 Muslim so-called countries in the world. Behind his leadership, I'm referring to Barack Hussein Obama, who happened to cohabit Chicago, Illinois, with our blessed Imam for over four decades. Surely there had to be mutual, interpenetrating influences. How could it be otherwise? And leadership influences. We saw this son of Africa, this son of Ham, a day or so after we acknowledged the 6th anniversary of the passing of Imam Wahduddin Muhammad. Now, we don't necessarily have to acknowledge these anniversaries, but I'm doing it so that we can understand that the Imam has not died, that even though physically his flesh, his bones have returned to the earth, but the other most excellent form of him has passed away, and he lives. And we perceive not, oh yes, thou bear with me today as I'm so thankful for what Almighty God is showing the planet this day. For Allah never fails in his promise, and his promise is never broken. And the wealth of the wealthy avail themselves not against Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and earth. Our subtopic is on this great and dreadful day. Allah has extinguished the false race. The lady, ma'am, I met in between 1975 and 1980, published a very excellent presentation, and the title of that presentation way back nearly 40 years ago was "The False Light is Extinguished." And I've taken from that presentation of our blessed Imam and used that language to frame the events. Of the last 7 days, especially when in midweek we experienced the 6th anniversary passing of Imam Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad said that this idea of, and I'm repeating him, of the woman becoming grown at 666 had a meaning that was not related to the idea in Bible that the number of the beast is 666. He said that that woman becomes grown, 666 at 18, it represents the social life, social consciousness, social justice. So he tied it into the resurrection of our father based upon 60 arms span. And Imam said that that means the only way to resurrect Adam is not in his individual life, but in his collective and social life. Do you understand? So this 6th anniversary calls into nature, into mind, Surah 4, and all that it represents in terms of women. And if we look at the news, there was an incident that occurred that clearly demonstrates that men are not yet civilized to understand the important role of women. In the yin life force in God's creation. Now, when I say that, please do not confuse me with one of these unbalanced so-called feminists or people who claim to advocate rights for women. So subtopic on this great and dreadful day, referring to Yom Hadin, the day of religion, the day of the dead, the day of judgment, Yom Kiyama, the day of resurrection. But look what I say. I follow that up with Allah has extinguished the false ray. In another way, the false light. Now, we look about around midweek in America. Two individuals made the news in a big way. This fellow, Ray Rice, and down here in Alabama, this Caucasian out of South Carolina, worse than an ICN, barbaric terrorist. Why is he worse? Because he savagely and brutally murdered 5 children, his biological children. So, barbarism, savagery, brutality is not limited to ISIS and those sick brothers in the Middle East.
But we can look right here in America and see the same pathological tendency to shed blood, to bring about bloodshed, runaway, rampant sexual obsession, violence, death, and mayhem right here in America. So we see, as we were immersed in the reality of the 6th anniversary in America, these two men named Ray Jones out of South Carolina, Caucasian, and Ray Rice, an African-American, made the news. So this is why, rather than saying false light, I say on this great and dreadful day, Allah has extinguished not the false light, but the false ray, referring to rays of light, but also plugging in to these events of savagery right here in America, where these two rays made the news. And we have to tie that into the death of one of our greatest leaders, who was the forerunner for the culminating African-American freedom leadership of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. I'm referring to the murderer, the assassin, who allegedly gunned down our great leader, the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., viciously and violently blew his jaws off. His name too was Ray. But I keep telling us, in history, there's no such thing as time and space. 1968, April the 4th, when Ray allegedly did that, is only a few seconds in a law's sight. Both scriptures say that 1,000 years is but a day in the sight of our Lord. So 30, 40, 35, 40, 50 years is only a split second. So even though these rays seem to be separated, in our eyes with human perception, they're interconnected as if we make the duel behind death. So, Allah, this particular person is our forerunner, and we are at their heels. And when you have a person's heel, you grab it. And this event that occurred back in the 60s where this Ray murdered our wonderful visionary leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., is intrinsically intertwined in an intricate manner with what's happening today in America with these two rays. James Earl Ray, attempted to extinguish the legacy of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he was unsuccessful. But Almighty God, after the mission of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad has extinguished the false light of artificial grafted religion, and so, well, how do you make that connection, Salam? We don't see that. Well, if you study on the same day that these rays were making the news, out of the culture of Hollywood. There was a guy by the name of Richard Keeley, who played in James Bond movies. And James Bond, the James's English was Jacob. And he bragged with that 007 movie that I'm the man. I got everybody bonded to my scheme. Yes, James is English for Jacob or Yakub the Serpent. And on the very day these rays came out, this performer in the movie, James, passed away in Hollywood. And the world victimization of being bonded to Jacob's false life, to James' false life, has been manifested in one way by years of promoting and inflaming conflict between the so-called Christian religion and the religion of Islam. This crusade upon crusade that we see happening even today. So this particular star, I think, in the James Bond movie, he's named Richard to remind us of this pattern playing itself out on the planet even to this day. King Richard and the Crusaders, Richard the Lionheart, and all of that. The warmongers on both sides at each other's throat in conflict and intense hostility. When in this day and time, Muhammad and Jesus will not be in conflict, but they will be harmonized, walking together. And dealing with our topic today, you know that incident with the first Ray Rice, occurred in Atlantic City roughly some 50 years after that historic turning point convention in Atlantic City, when the Civil Rights Movement theme played itself out and the door was open for the coming of Universal Man. Yes, Atlantic City, 1964. Now, brother, but how does this Ray Rice and all that has to do with anything? Look, I just told you about Jacob. When the last time we saw an event on an elevator? It was a, you know, we got these two forces in our community, the athletes and the rappers. They're the ones who get all the money. They're the ones who get all the play. They're the ones who the key to the culture of death that's holding our people down. Now, the last time I checked popular culture, Jay-Z had an encounter with another woman on an elevator behind something that happened with Beyonce. Now, Jay-Z, clearly Jay is Jacob. Now, why is it that in the world of rap, a leading figure had an encounter on an elevator with some women, with some yang. And here we see the same thing with an athlete on another elevator. We need to think about these things. We need to reflect on these signs. But sure there is wisdom in them for those who reflect. There's wisdom in them for those who reflect. Let me just go to Imam and just read some things today, not only in his memory, but to stipulate unequivocally his wisdom and why one of his students like myself and others can speak with a man's voice coming out of donkeydom, but speaking with a man's voice. Let me start off with what we're dealing with. The Muslims in the Middle East call themselves establishing these people from ISIS or whatever you call them in Islamic State. But I submit that you cannot produce an Islamic State until you have a condition in the heart, a state in the heart, and a state in the mind that's Islamic. That's verified in both scriptures. According to the Bible, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within. The most important state is the condition of our inner state. And Quran says God never changes the condition of a people until they first change within themselves or what's in their souls or what's in their heart. In other words, until they first change their internal state. Before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahabas were allowed to establish an exterior Islamic Ummah, that's the term, not state, they had to develop a certain purified state of mind in Mecca for 13 years. It took longer to build a proper internal state in a believer than it did to establish the external state or the exterior state or community or collective life in Medina. It took only 10 years, but in order to develop through trial and adversity and persecution, the right state that Allah wants in the believers to establish a collective life, a social life, it took 13 years in Mecca to do that. So these imposters, these phonies over there talking about an Islamic state, you cannot build a Muslim Ummah without the proper internal state. And we have to understand that Imam Muhammad came to bring the proper internal state to African-American community. He understood that before we could have a community outward life that we needed, there had to be a modification of our internal state. But the ignorant ones do not understand that. So they misperceive and misunderstand his leadership, fail to appreciate his leadership, fail to respect his vital leadership. So let me make this statement in this world. From Imam Muhammad, what these folk talking about, they got some kind of Islamic state. Even Barack Hussein Obama said that they were not an Islamic state. Even though some of these people fighting these Richard the Lionheart crusades, even though Obama made that statement, some of these people who want to show this card continue to talk about an Islamic state when they know better. There isn't an Islamic Ummah or an Islamic state on this planet today because the internal life of the Muslims have been deconstructed. And when Allah sent one to reconstruct the interior and internalize, to change the hearts of the Muslim back the way it should be, following the clear guidance of Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, they rejected that leadership out of arrogance. Because the one who was bringing it was nappier than Bilal. The one who bringing it was nappier than Bilal. So look what he said. He said, my leadership, this is Imam Muhammad, dealt more with psychology of our struggle and more with the psychology of the behavior than with physical needs that we have. I have come to the conclusion years ago the importance of building the psychology of the individual and building the psychology of the race, building the proper state, interior state, before we can have the kind of community in our neighborhoods with businesses, with learning, with peace, free of strife, murder, and mayhem. That's not going to change. I don't care how many secular exterior strategies we use until we follow the wisdom that the Imam gave us to reconstitute and to reconstruct the souls of black folk. It'll never happen. He went on to say, building the spiritual life and mentality of the race and the individual is key for putting us in a situation where we would have the spirit, the ambition, the assertiveness to tackle the hard job of changing the physical picture in our neighborhood. In other words, of changing the physical state. We cannot tackle that with this chaotic, ravaged, disintegrative state in the soul of black folk that we see all around the country. It's very, 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 very important to understand as we move along. There's no such thing as an Islamic state on this planet. The Imam was sent to bring back the right and proper and clear Quranic state. And if we internalize it as Muslims anywhere on this planet, then we'll have the mindset, the internal discipline and fortitude to build an America, New Africa, and to resuscitate the example of Islamic life all around the planet. This is our leader. How was the Imam able to bring the guidance? The Imam went to the mill and grinded and grinded and grinded. We can't deal with this world with a lack of knowledge. Our people have been destroyed by a lack of knowledge. A lot of times we forget the effort that our blessed Imam put in investigating and studying. But let me remind you, as we reflect upon his life today, look what he said. He said, so I went into study. I went into deep studies. I said to myself, most of the following of the Nation of Islam has been taught the Bible to see themselves as a people like the Jews. This is the man, persecuted and needing to come out from under the rule of their persecutors into an environment and society of their own. An exterior state after reconstruction of the internal state. Then the man goes on to say, that way I saw it. So I said, I'm going to have to study Bible, which I wasn't a Bible minister. I was a Quran minister. I said, I'm going to have to study the Bible and get familiar with it. I told this story more than once, and I won't go over it today. It will take too much time. And I came to the conclusion as to how I should use the Bible, if I should use it at all. I was already familiar with the Quran, but I also obligated myself to study the secret teachings of Mr. Farah. I knew I had to study that, so I did. That signaled me to the mythologies of the world. So I ran to libraries. I traveled out of Illinois to libraries in other states looking for books, and I studied books on mythology in different places. I read the mythology of ancient people. I read some mythologies on the African people, like Egyptian mythologies. All this coming together wasn't my genius, but it was the assistance of God. This is what we got to understand. These brothers out here who think that they can go out and study and work and grind away, that somehow they can mix a master knowledge that Allah gave him, man, Walter, the name Muhammad, they are misguided. Look what he said. It wasn't due to my genius, but it was the assistance of God. God was assisting me in giving me signals from Mr. Farah's teaching, giving me signals from the Quran, giving me signals from the Bible, giving me all these signals that brought me to do this kind of vast research. Anybody can research. You have people with PhDs and all kind of degrees in academia that's been researching for decades. But anybody can't get the signals from the creator of the heavens and earth that the Imam got. Then he said, then extracting from all that research what I thought would be my strategy for bringing the following of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad out of a language prison to freedom. Can you imagine the prison that our minds were in as a people after having been enslaved, indoctrinated, Jim Crow and everything else for 300 to 400 years? Don't you know what kind of guidance that took? Don't you know what kind of insight that took? In order to be able to bring the people out of that limited state into the full light of freedom. That's the task. That's the mission that Allah gave to Imam Muhammad. And we should never deflate it or reduce it or trivialize it. For generations to come, the world will be studying the phenomenon as to how the Imam had the kind of body of knowledge that was capable of reconstructing the deconstructed souls of black folk. This is our leader. I have to take the time to remind us. The Imam was talking about from the ashes of a deconstructed people, Allah creating a new people. And so he said, we can't stop now. With the light on, we have to build leadership for Al-Islam in America. We have to build. We're doing it in America, but we have to do it for the whole world, a new people in America. See, that's the problem with African-American people. We want to continue to try to make progress with an old mind, taking the stand of an old people. We're resisting the massive transformative plan that Allah ordained for us to complete our freedom struggle by bringing us into a complete new life, new Africa, a new people, basking in the rays of the sun of Quran Kareem.
Now these brothers, so-called brothers over in the Middle East, this is why we need the guidance of Imam Muhammad, because they say, well, the West have mistreated us, colonized us. We victim of imperialism and neocolonialism and all these other isms, and we must fight the West, the home of the great sea. But if they had listened to our blessed email, they wouldn't be in this condition. So the imam, what he said over the years is relevant even today as we look at world events. It's relevant even today. Imam said, fighting persecution simply because it is in his book that says persecution is worse than outright killing, or persecution is worse than slaughter. That's how it's translated by one translator of the Quran. So he's doing that. The prophet addressed that because that can be trouble down the road. The Muslim would be coming to war warning to go to paradise. Even some sinners would say, if I do this, God will forgive me all my sins. If I go to war and risk my own life and die in the cause, that God, I will get to paradise. For it says, you will get the paradise for defending the cause. And if you are killed, you go straight to paradise. This is the belief. Imam is talking about the prevailing belief in the Muslim world. So what he said, Prophet Muhammad addressed that. The Prophet Muhammad addressed that because this can be trouble spot down the road. If any Muslim come from sinning and other influences, some are saints that will come wanting to go to paradise, they'll be joining the army. So this is an attraction for people to join the army to become warriors. The prophet is a man of peace. And I think one of the main purposes to take some of the importance away from that, so many Muslims will not be attracted to war, but be attracted to education. The Prophet Muhammad said, the ink of the scholar is more important than the blood of the martyr. The great crowd should be coming to education, not to war. There's no such thing as a Muslim ulama in this day and time. The Prophet said that darkness would come over his ulama. And in the ignorance that of that darkness in the Islamic world, there's more a premium putting on warfare, putting on fighting, putting on so-called jihad. When Prophet Muhammad told us that education is more important for the masses than the shedding of blood, he said the ink of the scholar, the properly guided scholar, I might add, is more important than the blood of the martyr. And look at him, ma'am, look at this. He said that means that educating our people, educating our masses is more important than training them to be warriors and to break the peace and to be engaged in constant, chronic, habitual warfare. What we see happening in the East is nothing but a manifestation of the darkness and the ignorance
that has descended upon the Muslim world. But they could have been removed from that darkness if they had not rejected a son of Ham, a blessed Imam, one with hair nappy as Bilal. One with hair as nappy as Bilal. Now, where can you get this kind of insight from a leader unless he got assistance from Almighty God? I've seen scholars write about that, saying of the prophets, but they never interpreted in that very, very wise manner.
Finally, as we reflect on our blessed Imam, to him, some of my Muslim brothers think that Amara and sisters think that this donkey is out of bounds when he looks at events and attempt to bring some clarity from them. But I'm a student of Imam Muhammad, and I'm going to demonstrate how the Imam understood in terms of perception of reality. And that when I read information from him like this, it influenced me, and I began to look at things in a similar fashion. I'm quoting the Imam, especially this pan we're talking about here in Chicago Heights. Now, look what he says. See, I like this name, Chicago Heights. This is when you leave Chicago and go to the Heights. So the Imam is looking at a little biblical town, Chicago Heights, and getting a higher message or a sign. But when this brother do it, some think again that I'm transgressing the bounds. Then he goes to this street called Lincoln Highway. I think it's Highway 12 or 30 that runs through there. Called Lincoln Highway. Whatever the highway number is, the U.S. highway, not the interstate highway, I think it's 30 because I think I researched it, and I think it's the same number as the Imam's birthday, October 30th. I know it's reduced to a 3, being 12 on Highway 30. I have to go back to my atlas. Look what he say, Lincoln Highway. Not the low way, but the highway. Again, signaling this thing about Heights. We found it in Chicago Heights. Ain't no accident. Look at that place and what it was named. So he's saying that there was a design that this name and the fact that he ended up in Chicago Heights is a design. It's still the name because I haven't changed it yet. Chair people, chair is the throne, isn't it? And in the Quran, it doesn't it says kursi? It means throne. It means chair in common language. Then Imam goes on to say, my life is so filled with signs. But Allah tells us in Quran, signs are everywhere. In these current events, signs are everywhere. In ourselves, in creation, and in our collective life, there are signs. The Imam said, my life is so filled with signs that if they were going to rehearse my life and were to put it in print, that God has singled me out as his friend. In other words, the Imam said that when God give you sign after sign after sign, and fill your life with sin, then that's indicative of the fact that you must be a friend of God.
So now if my leader can sit here and say that his whole life was filled with sand and publish that as a decade, you don't think I can start trying to look for signs? If others didn't do it, then they must be an incomplete or negligent student, because this idea is a strong part of the Imam's teachings. He said God has singled me out as his friend, that he's going to raise up in the world with our people. Quote, unquote. That's the kind of man we had as our leader. If African Americans had not rejected him en masse, if the Muslim world had not rejected him, if American people, especially the white, had not really rejected him, their most evolved, their most excellent native son, the most excellent human being that's ever been born and developed and raised up by Allah on the American soil. Native American, African American, Euro American, you name it, Imam Muhammad was the most excellent one of us. And this nation and this world is paying a price for that rejection, the same way the world paid the price in Scripture any time they rejected a man who stood upon the Petra in God's revealed word. You cannot do that without dire consequences. Don't think is any difference between that ice over there and that ice over here. I know some of you don't see the offense of Ray Rice as being that bad, but the Caucasian who killed five children, naturally he's a demon. But let me tell you, as a lawyer, if Ray Rice, a boxer or an athlete, had struck a male and had injured that male with his fist, I've had cases where I've attempted to defend people against a felony assault, and the prosecutor said, yeah, he had a deadly weapon. His deadly weapon was his fist. Men who are trained to get engaged in horrific physical violence, many times when they commit assaults against everyday people, they can be charged, even though they don't have a knife or a gun, with assault with a deadly weapon merely by using their physical fists. So if he could be put in prison for a felony, for assault with a deadly weapon on a male, how much do you think the atrociousness of his act when it came to a female? How wicked that act was. Now, we know in Quran, it's not, in some translations, it's not violation of the picture. To, according to the book, in some translation, to strike the woman lightly. And that's after exercising and exhausting other remedies and the corrective behavior does not come. Then there's some translations that suggest that a little light tap. But in nowhere in God's scripture does a husband or a man or anybody else supposed to take a deadly weapon, an athlete, and viciously cold cock a woman and knock her out in a split second. The man talked about us following the example of these athletes. We can't elevate following that kind of example. Because if you study our culture now, there is, after years of being indoctrinated with the ice of the church, which is the key to white supremacy. And there was a rise that tied us into the Middle East trouble. A Ying figure by the name of Condoleezza Rice. Now there's another Rice working with us, a Ying figure trying to get us out of this mess called Susan Rice. Do you understand? And then we have Jay-Z on the elevator, the rapper, one of those culprits who are responsible for blood money, for wrapping the head and mind of our young men and women so that they cannot grow, locking up the intellect, tying the intellect tight with a rap. Can't see scripture. The imam said, when you see scripture, they said after Jesus came out of the cave, they say that they found his rapping. Our young people could not get to the pure scripture of Imam Muhammad because Jacob had used these selfish souls amongst us to use the culture of death, rap music, to destroy the minds and intellect of a whole generation. We have been checked with the game of tic-tac-toe, the cross, and absolutely zero knowledge. And these athletes, even though tattoos have always existed, and these rappers, they have set the example now where tattoos have become a cultural phenomenon. Everybody got to have them. But the tattoo without is an example of the entrenched ice within. Oh yeah, T.A., that's the doctrine of the cross. Tic, tac, toe, tattoo. That's the false light, the Trinitarian doctrine, the ice that's in that rice. And the man was sent to extinguish those false rays. And Allah blessed him to do that. Even though James Earl Ray could not extinguish the spirit of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but we see the false light of ice still distorting the minds and behavior of the masses. So we see our brother Ray Rice caught up. We see our brother Ray Jones, the vicious Caucasian murderer in Alabama, caught up. Mine still tattooed, still brainwashed with the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine from the ice house. There's no difference between the sick ISIS over there and the sick ISIS over here. So we see the day after these events occur with the rays,
Barack Hussein Obama, the President of the United States, come before the world. That he's in charge of the storehouse. Almighty God has put him in charge of the storehouse. With some complicated and perplexing problems. And Allah has not given him the keys that he's given our blessed Imam. He's a political leader. He's a commander in chief. He's a governmental leader. But he was not raised to the height. This is what we got to understand. And I don't know, right the day before he gave this speech, right around the time of the 6th anniversary, Imam Muhammad, I'm a dunkhead. I acknowledge the fact that when I try to read the signs that there's no prophet here, all we can do is have sincere intentions. And I remember hearing the Imam talk about the last Savior's Day weekend, about he felt that Allah had brought him out of the land of Chicago and put him in Chicago Heights because he thought Allah was getting ready to bless him and our community to go to greater heights than what the Nation of Islam went to when it was stationed in Chicago proper. But really, when we look at what actually occurred, the Imam was not flawed in his interpretation. He saw a sign that the matter is. That sign was referring to when and where and how Allah was going to call back his blessed service. And when he passed away during the month of Ramadan, our sectional reading for that day and that time was the surah called Off the Heights. And the Imam said that height does not refer to merely a high physical state. But he said it also means an advancement in higher knowledge and consciousness. So Allah allowed his passing to occur during this period of Chicago Heights when we were reading the surah called the Heights in Quran. It's a sign that Allah blessed the Imam to reach spiritual and mental and moral heights greater than any human being since Prophet Muhammad and his Sahaba, sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. That's a fact. In the masjid where we had his janazah was located again on Highland Street, bringing that idea of hype to mind. Yes, the world is in confusion. Yes, this is a great and dreadful day of the Lord. Yes, these schemers are ready to culminate their plan. But they plan and Allah plan. And Allah is the best of planners. And what do we see? Before they get a chance to spring this last stage, Allah has already extinguished their false light forever by raising the Imam to the heights, ascending him to the mountain of light, gave him pure understanding of Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet, Allah's two greatest mercy. And as long as his students are around, as long as his students got the strength to advocate
without fear, with the utmost resolve. What Allah did through Imam Muhammad and what he's continuing to do today in this Yom Medin. Satan's plan will be sabotaged. Oh, yes. His plan will be sabotaged. All we have to do is continue to spread the clear light on this great and dreadful day. Allah has extinguished the false rape. So it wasn't about just rape knocking out a woman. These events, it wasn't about James Earl Ray and this guy James Bond connected up with that, passing away on the same day of the raids. It wasn't about Ray Jones in, from South Carolina down here in Wilcox County, Alabama, murdering his own kids. It's about the fact that the man whose life came to an end some 6 years ago physically had been used by Allah to extinguish the false rays, the false light. Dear beloved people, this is what we must understand. Everything is being orchestrated by Allah. The Imam knew that his life was orchestrated from the beginning to the end. And he probably reflected, put himself on account, and studied his life, and saw how Allah had hooked up the whole life. He's hooked up my life, your life, the collective life of African American people, the collective life of global man, the existence of this universe. Allah has orchestrated it all. And he never fails in his promise. And he's never frustrated. Dearly beloved people, we must reject this culture of death that our entertainers and athletes represent. The Imam say that these diabolic forces take the warriors, turn them into athletes, give them money and spoil them so that our strongest warriors would not be around for the freedom fight. And you can see it today. All tattoo laden, wrapped in gold and jewelry and finery, disrespecting themselves, disrespecting women, disrespecting our struggle. Same thing with the bleed-laden rap brothers who victimized by the false raid of the ICE, that massive brainwashing and diabolic false religious teaching is still devastating in the soul. I don't have nothing personal against my brother Ray Rice. He's just a sign. I understand the weakness of Jay-Z coming from where he came, wanting to make that money. I understand that. But we have to read these things for what they are. They are utensils and tools utilized by these schemers to victimize the whole race by perpetuating culture of death. This world, some of our enemies are not finished with us. Look how this commander-in-chief studied the problem, did his best, came forth after caution and deliberation with a viable plan. But because he's like Ham, many out there just had to criticize, had to find fault,
This black man shouldn't be able to shoulder the responsibility like Atlas for the whole global community. We didn't produce this, I almost said in, to be able to shoulder this kind of responsibility. Don't you know he's this monkey, this buck in this myth of Ham? Don't you know we must do everything within our power to make him look bad? And some of you silly-minded African-Americans got the nerve to get caught up in that foolishness. Our brother Stuart Byrd, I looked him in the eyes. I couldn't see any fear. I couldn't see any doubt. I couldn't see any panic. I marvel at how our Lord had blessed him with serenity and tranquility under great, great pressure. Clearly he was developed and born for this mission. Because I don't know too many of us as African Americans who could have put up with the junk this man have had to put up with and still maintain a calm, relative, peaceful demeanor so that he's able to put forth rational geopolitical strategies and plans. Buddy, 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 what a miracle from the Lord of the world. And let me tell you, Obama is just the beginning of the real Khalifa. They over there talking about a caliphate. Allah's not going to give you a caliphate. You're not ruling from the real life of Khalifa. You're not in tune with your original nature. This guy, Jaws, this guy, played on James Bond, was also on the Adams family. And the Adams family was monsters. And these schemers would say, we have turned the nature of Adam into monstrosities. Oh, they're lopping off folks' heads and beheading folks. Killing folk. Well, you're not fit to be a large ruler on the planet. You're not fit to lead anybody other than wild, primitive jungle creatures.
But Barack Hussein Obama is the proto-civilizer. But the complete evolved civilizer is coming, because the complete evolved civilizer came out of tradition which says it's the duty of the civilized to teach civilization. And those from the dispensation of Farad Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, and the Lady Mayan Wazuddin Muhammad have been given the clear light to extinguish the false rays and to bring back civilization to the planet, to global man. Dearly beloved people, that complete our reflections on the signs of the time. We don't mean to abuse anybody. If we infringe upon any sensitivities and sensibilities, that was not our focus. Our focus is to stand firm on identifying the blessing that Allah gave to America, the African-American people, to global man in the life of our blessed Imam, the Lady Mayan Wazuddin Muhammad. So with that, I bring this to a close, and I turn it back over to Imam Alfred for any comments or any discussion on our commentary looking at these events in this great and dreadful day of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir, Brother Imam. You can dial 805-727-7013. Those who are listening via browser, I know you're listening. And those who are already on the phones, all you do is press one on your phone and you will be heard. I want to ask you, Brother Imam, as an attorney, also as an informed opinion, and we have to understand that Muslim part of the tradition of America was to have informed citizens. And certainly you are informed, but I want to ask this question. We have another caller. And that is, in the matter of Mr. Lewis, he was summarily dismissed from the league while Judge Fuller, the U.S. District Court Judge Fuller for the Middle District of your state of Alabama, I don't know if you previous comment on him, he has entered rehab. There were serious allegations against the judge. And of course, as we know in American jurisprudence, a federal judge has to be impeached before he's removed from the bench. But it would seem that he pled guilty. He didn't plead guilty. He was given an adjournment contemplating dismissal and even an expungement. And he was given 6 months of counseling. Whereas I know, and I don't like to cross jurisdictional comments because I think there are a lot of our people make ignorant comments. One is in a different court. One is not even a court of record. But it just seemed to me to be quite unfair that Mr. Lewis, a football player, who obviously came from a family of abuse, and this is an issue we imams should be taking up, preachers should be taking up, citizens should be taking up, teach our men how to be civilized. But Judge Fuller, to my understanding, is a multimillionaire, has been a distinguished attorney, graduate of the University of Alabama, from Enterprise, Alabama, and this is not his first allegation. Now, he was allowed to stay with dignity, and the judge, in fact, says he'd like to return to the bench. We'll see what the 11th Circuit says about that. But I find that ironic. Yes, sir. So I would like you to comment on that.
Let me just say, on a certain level, that particular analysis is correct. But if you look at this thing from strict, exacting scrutiny, the judge is not part of an insular community. He's an individual professional that may have violated certain ethics. And that happens all the time in America. But this football player is part of an insular community called the NFL. Okay? And that's a multi-billion-dollar industry. And so when you're dealing with that, there's great need to preserve the worship of Baal in America. So in that context, every individual can be sacrificed. So there's no insular community that's intricately intertwined culturally in that judge's situation. But it's not just about Ray Rice in terms of the discipline. It's also about preserving the image of the NFL with the masses so that they can continue to make billions while at the same time being used as a insular weapon to attract the best of our young males and to turn them into selfish, narrow, money-grubbing athletes that have no sensitivity for the needs of women in the general sense of our community. In the last 10 years, you can't name 20, and all major sports have stood up like a personal scripture. As Moses said, I must return to my mother and protect it. So they'll go to all extent to preserve the music industry and the sports industry that's attracting the cream of the crop from the African-American community, and they feel as long as that happens, we don't have a chance in Hades of getting to the promised land. So my point is, we're dealing with something a lot bigger than the individual violation of an individual judge in a legal profession. A lot bigger. So you're going to get different action and different consequences.
Well, brother, you have nailed it down. I read some other analysis, even in legal journals, that was not as accurate as you. This is why we should listen to Religion Means Alive, particularly on Friday, to get an analysis. And again, this is not a crackpot analysis. This is a man who's a lawyer, a law professor, and an imam, and most important, more importantly, a wise follower and student of the logic and reasoning of Imam Waqfuddin Muhammad. So I tell you, it's very learned, and I appreciate it, and I will apply it in my analysis. That's what it means to follow the logic. Imam Muhammad,
if you look at the Nation of Islam, the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad was hard on sports. He and the Imam knew it was not just about sports. It was about ball. When Bible talk about people worshiping Baal, that's getting involved with activity that's obsessively concerned with physicality and body. So when you look at, for instance, all of the things that are served at these games, you have the hot dog. I'm coming straight in, ma'am. The phallic symbol inside of a bar. This is what the man said, and he said, you put on it musk. Musk is a substance that stimulates the sexuality in horses. And so they take it and name this substance that's put on this hot dog mustard after this substance that's given to horses to sexually excite them. And then they bring in this whole first Sunday, drinking the blood of Jesus, and they had this substance that in the soul translated as cannibalism and blood. We sprinkle it with the blood of ketchup, caught up in this ice, worshiping this ball. And the Imam said, buy me some peanuts. When people worship the body, worship physicality, and worship sports, they do not develop the high mental and spiritual faculty. So the Imam said they serve these peanuts as a sign of people having a peanut brain. And he said a Cracker Jack is a seed that's been exploded. And say, you put the seed represent the soul, and you put that soul on the heat, and it explodes like popcorn. But it's just not popcorn. You sprinkle some sweetness. You sprinkle some love. You sprinkle some sugar diabetes, a Christian idea of extreme emotionalism and sentimentality. So it's very important.
Brother Imam.
Yes, sir.
You have given us straight from the Samson conspiracy. And I'm telling you, it is straight, no chaser. And it should be required reading for our educators, our leaders, even anybody who aspires to any kind of office among us. If they don't have this analysis, they are not fit to lead us. They are not fit because we have to understand that, you know, after Imam Muhammad said that in 1970, I believe it was 79, maybe 78, I've eaten a hot dog since. And it just really is an insult that Satan would even put something like that in front of the people and laugh at them. Let's go to the phones, and we have a caller calling, I believe it's my dear brother and dear friend, Brother Imam Mubashir Mukhtar, which is, not, oh, God forgive me, Imam Mubashir Asta. Now, anybody who knows Imam Mubashir Ugda, tell him he's been invited on our program tomorrow because we want him to state his case that someone was thrown out of the convention. Now, he's putting erroneous information. Tell him he's summoned before my court tomorrow while he will answer the charges of falsifying information and spreading vicious rumors throughout this community. I've called him and asked him to come. But now we are heard for the good brother of Imam Mubashir Akhtar from Brooklyn, New York. And I'm going to tell you, Brooklyn is not Brooklyn anymore since he will be there to defend us tomorrow against the bad Mubashir. And I'm calling him out. Y'all tell him he run around running all kinds of rumors and lies. He's summoned for Imam Alfred Muhammad Court. I noticed that nobody on the air, all the emails are going around. Nobody said that I addressed the imams. That they kept that quiet. And they kept it quiet that I said I was assuming the role of a community whip. I said that at the Ramadan session, I've repeated it, and I'm until somebody stands up and to take on that responsibility in a democracy, you got to have a whip. Now, I'm like, well, Imam said he wish he had his daddy because his daddy would whip the community shape. Well, I'm not his daddy, but I'm going to take on the responsibility of the big daddy of this community and whip this community in order. Thank you, Brother Imam.
Brother Imam?
Yes, sir.
You want Alfred or Yusuf?
That's what I'm like, Brother Imam.
Brother Imam, yes, sir, if you can ask whatever you would like to ask Brother Imam Yusuf. I won't be on the air tomorrow, but ask Brother Imam Yusuf any questions you'd like to ask him.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to thank him, Brother Imam. That was an excellent talk you gave, Brother Imam Yusuf. You was on the money.
Alhamdulillah.
God has blessed you with beautiful insight into scripture and understanding. Brother Yusuf, now, take a look at this. You know, what with life, that incident with that young man, that's a smokescreen. There was a big event going on in South Africa with Oscar Pretorius that killed that model, murdered her, shot her four times. His trial was going around. They brought Rice in to take the focus off of what that guy, that white Afrikaner did over there in Africa to one of his kind. He killed his girlfriend cold-blooded. Shot her four times, murder her, and they did not charge him with murder. He outright murdered her. So I was looking at TV, and they would flash him because he's a star athlete, too. He's an athlete. Went to the Olympics. Won medals in the Olympics in the handicap division. So they were showing a clip that would show him and his glory in the sport that he was in track. Then they would flash back to right. Imam Muhammad told us in his last year, so live with us, in Ramadan session 2007, he said the scheme of the slave master is to use the spirit of the African and American to bring down the whole world. Now, when you look at what happened with this boy Rice, his jersey number is 27. 2 + 7 = 9. 2 × 7 = 14. And 4 and 1 = 5. Now, and you know numbers, Brother Imam. You know numbers. 29, that's who was on the second level? Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. They went from 2 all the way up to 9. Now, who was the 9th one, Belial? Belial was the 9th figure up there in heaven after Muhammad the prophet, who was the 8th. But Abraham had 2 sons in the old world, Ishmael and Isaac. And then he had 2 sons after he reached the 7th level. He had 2 more sons. That was Muhammad and Bilal. Muhammad and Bilal. So when they use these numbers, they are playing on. But Muhammad said he heard footsteps ahead of him in paradise, and they were Bilal. So they are coming after the African-American descendants of slaves in the future. So they use all of this strategy, all of these strategies. You point out so many of Brother Imam. You pointed out so many signs in your talk that I was able to connect with because I'm a man like you, Muhammad, and I enjoyed what you said. And you got the host, Imam Alfred Muhammad. He ain't no joke. But Imam, you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you. I hear you.
Brother,
I understand. Yes, sir.
And you have done a marvelous job today, dear brother, ma'am, Yusuf, a marvelous job, man. I know this here. Those on high, they heard you. I can guarantee you that. They heard you. And I know Imam Alpha Muhammad. I know the kind of spirit that he got. I know the kind of spirit that he got. But, Imam, you got to, that's what we want to know. What happened to the Christians, ma'am? And I know that you got a good insight and you know how to explain. You know how to explain so that the common man and woman can get a good understanding of what took place, brother, ma'am, that was not at the convention. Because Muhammad the Prophet said, tell those who were not there, go and tell them. Perhaps they will understand better than that. So you keep up the good work, brother, ma'am. I really enjoy your show. Religion mean alive. And brother, ma'am, you and brother, ma'am, Yusuf, y'all bring religion alive, man. Allah bless the both of you. As-salamu alaykum.
Brother, you certainly was kind with your remarks, and I think you even showed me a little light today with your additional comments. There's so much we can discern when
yes,
we study and reflect upon the signs of Allah. And that numerical dimension is very, very, very important. So thank you for giving me some insight to go back and review and add based upon that explanation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother, man.
So,
ma'am,
I'm after it.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
You got time for one more court case?
Yes, sir.
I want to go over to South Africa to the Pistorius case. And while
yes.
I'm not conversant, you are probably more conversant with English common law than I am.
What case is that now?
That the case of Pistorius.
What?
The man who the amputee that killed, who was allegedly killed his wife. It seems that the judge is about to reduce the murder charge to a lesser offense. I don't know whether you've been following that case or not, but I wonder if you reflect on the name Pistorius and the man in South Africa where he is a minority and the African judge. Now, I don't want to despise the judge because I don't know all the facts. I'm following the trial. I don't want to be like these armchair judiciary. Because I do respect the judiciary and the rule of law. But I do want you to comment on that and see what insights you can give us about that case.
I was plugged in the case early on. I didn't follow the blow-by-blow or detail-by-detail. But look, a lot of the evidence depended upon Pistorius' depiction of events. And I think it's something let me put it this way, revealing in that name Oscar. The way he put on an act, the way he talked, the way he justified and came up with this Hollywood sterling performance as to what happened when he blew his wife away is amazing. He deserved an Oscar. I don't buy his story at all. But again, in fairness to him in the case, I'm not familiar with this. But now he is handicapped. This word, Pistorius, when I first read it, it relates to the fact that the legs are what they call the age of the fishes. And you know, the Piscean age, Pistoria, the age of Pisces, is coming to an end. And the Gentile really has reached its fullness and doesn't have a leg to stand on. So when I saw this case, I think that's what really came to my mind, the reflective suggestion in this name Pistorius, as it's connected, you know, they connect the Christian dispensation with the fish, and they you know, this whole idea Pisces and feelings and going on tend to characterize, Christianized Western man. And there's no doubt that this incident is related to a coming to an end that and Jacob brags, as the Imam talked about, when they sing in this song, this is the coming of the age of Aquarius. And the Imam told us that when this so-called Aquarius, where they taking this water and they pouring it out, the water barrier, the Imam said that means that in this age they're going to pour more and more ignorance out on the masses. And this is what we see now. But how do we explain in a secular sense, in a mundane sense, how this African judge came up with this very lenient and I would say extreme tolerant and merciful ruling of this case is beyond me. I admit now that I don't have the totality of the evidence. But what I heard evolving initially, and when I heard his story justifying what I said, hey, Oscar needs an Oscar with this evidentiary presentation he put on.
I just think that a fair jury, if he were being tried by jury, even in South Africa, I think he would be convicted. And though they don't have a jury system here, I certainly, just from what evidence I've seen, and I mean, I'll be fair, I don't have any dogs in this fight. I think it is a clear case of murder.
There's no doubt in my mind. I think he murdered the young lady.
It seemed to me to be in the first degree deliberate and what absolutely deliberate. I want to move on to another question. The low rating of President Barack Hussein Obama, and they also the continuous effort to destroy the dignity of African men and the absolute ham story being redux. I think the president is down to 28% approval rating.
No, that's in foreign policy.
Okay.
Not overall. That's in foreign policy. But let me say this. That's his rating, but it's a rating against the most successful record of foreign policy execution, probably more so than any president in the 21st century, more so than Theodore Roosevelt, yes, more so than Franklin Roosevelt during World War II, yes, because World War II was black and white. You could say that the Japanese attacked us and we have a clear right of self-defense. Obama is dealing with the most complex, the most sophisticated foreign policy dilemma that any combination of American minds have faced since the beginning of this country. And I can think of one foreign policy move that was a mistake on his part. Basically, he has demonstrated, I read a foreign policy book, publication that deals with, that addresses the wise, and they say a good foreign policy president must have two characteristics. He must be a realist and not an idealist like Bush, where he's talking about we got to make the world safe for the mocks that bring it to the Middle East. He must also be very cautious and deliberate. Now, if you study Obama's style with foreign policy, he takes his time. He get all the evidence. He talked to all his advisors. Then he rationally analyzes it and process it. This is what the foreign policy experts say characterize a John in foreign policy. But these pundits on the news will take that virtue and turn it into a problem and tell American people that's weak. He's taking too long. What do we expect him to knee-jerk and jump and get us in a perpetual hole the way Cheney, Bush, and Rumsfeld did and puzzle this senator up, and we still haven't gotten out of it? Even though Colin Powell, after the liberation, told him, if you break it, you own it. Now, the second thing, and more importantly, there was a situation where Netanyahu and the Israeli army are lobby here in America, AIPAC. They wanted a situation when Obama was working with Hassan in Iran, okay, to bring about negotiations to deal with that problem. Netanyahu and AIPAC wanted to increase the sanctions to aggravate Iran so that that deal would fall through. They put pressure on Congress. Many of the congressional people and the senators, they were going along with that until finally Obama took a very, very strong stand on this issue. He refused to go along with increased sanctions before the negotiation had a chance to play itself out. At the last minute, many of these congressional flunkies of AIPAC, if you want to read about this, go into the New Yorker magazine. These flunkies of Netanyahu, these false patriots like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who are always attacking the president, but their number one position is to manipulate foreign policy to be one-sided toward what Netanyahu wants and what the state of Israel demands. This is a fact. They put more credence in the needs of Israel foreign policy than America. I'm talking about the ilk like John McCain and Lindsey Graham. That's another story. But since that time, there has been an attempt. If you go back and look at Obama's ratings at the time when this incident occurred, well, for the first time, AIPAC and Netanyahu experienced a defeat before the U.S. Congress. Then they have gotten together with complicit forces in the media to not only deal with that ham thing, but to impose revenge upon him for not buckling to Netanyahu and AIPAC with that unreasonable demand that was against American foreign policy interest. You go back at that time and study it, you'll see all of a sudden there was a super overnight flip, even on MSNBC, by some pundits in terms of commentary on Obama. That was all an attempt to derail him and punish him for not kowtowing to the unreasonable demands of Netanyahu and this powerful lobby called AIPAC. This is a fact. But if we don't read, if we don't study, we'll miss these kinds of things. There is a deliberate attempt not only to debunk him, that's legacy in long term, but in the short term is an attempt to send him a message, boy, if you ever defy us again, your ratings will be zero before you get out of office. Thank God Obama is man enough to say, shoot your shot. Get me down to 10. I'm still not going to count out of you as your abject flunky. Thank God for him having that spirit.
Bobby, one other question is the president's, and I agree with you. I don't have all I can tell the people in this audience, you should tell 10 of your friends to tune in every Friday. Listen to this. This is where you're going to hear real analysis. It used to be that you go into one of our temples of Islam, you would see in our paper an analysis from our point of view. That's not right now. We have a famine for hearing the word of God and having an analysis. Imam urged the imams to have an analysis of current events.
Ma'am, I want to make it clear. What I'm saying is not anti-Jewish. The topic of this article is about how certain Jewish elements in America have begun to resist this one-sided very, very biased interest
and
towards the
you are 100% right, Mr. Sam. Yes, sir. There's even a piece in the New York Review of Books, Arden, Johnny's magazine, and they are arguing in that article that the end of liberal Zionism, that even the Jews, and Mayor Muhammad promised us when he came in office, he said, I'm going to cause a split even in Israel. And now we have very sincere, good Jewish people. And that's what we want to say. We want to let people know we're not here against Jewish
people.
Yeah, people
of conscience. That's what the article really was about. It's just
that's
that in studying it and analyzing it, I was able to make the connection to this vicious assault that's being orchestrated trying to undermine Obama's political status. But really the theme of the article was talking about how Jews of conscience, young and old, are beginning to feel that these kinds of extreme policies do not represent the best interests of the state of Israel, the Jewish people, nor the United States of America. That's a fact.
I want to also reintroduce you back to the audience again, not that you are not known, but I want to tell them about how you and I met face-to-face at a very auspicious time in history. And that was we had Reverend Robert Shuler and the guests of a very important religious community, and we had one of the most important figures in American letters, Mr. Taylor Branch, was visiting our convention. And I got in a discussion yesterday with a man who was writing a book about us, about how you said you couldn't join the nation because you knew that there were good Jewish people, there were good Caucasians. One even had saved your sister's life by giving his life, Jonathan Reed, I believe it is. And I think this is important to know the kind of expansion that Imam Muhammad expanded upon his father's work, and that probably some historians say, and I agree, that there were over 1 million conversions or returned to Islam between 75 and 80 because of the fact that men like you, you knew that you couldn't say the white man the devil. How did you say the white man the devil when there was a white man that took a bullet for your sister Ruby and another one got shot in the back defending your sister? And so I was telling a group of professors yesterday, I said, you want to know why Imam Muhammad picked the American flag up? He picked the flag up for Johnson Reed. He picked the flag up for Viola Rosa. He picked the flag up for the Quakers. He picked the flag up for John Brown. I didn't mean to preach, but you are a prime example. We're going to remind the localized teachings of the Abdullah Muhammad, the civilized teachings of Abdullah Muhammad, but you could not accept his doctrinal position because you knew the white man couldn't be the devil inherently, even though many of them have acted as devils, but they were put up by the old Satan himself and the Jacobite schemers. As you close out, we have a few more minutes. Would you reflect on my comment?
Brother, I think your comments are correct. That's the beauty of the life of Imam Muhammad. He told us that when he was a young tot, and my family waiting on me, that his mother gave him a picture of a Caucasian image, and he tore it up because he was told that they were the devil. The Imam evolved from that early womb and took on the global dimension of a universal teacher, and he, by taking up the American flag, which was related to a motto of E Pluribus Unum, one group of sons and daughters of Adam out of many. He knew that that idea was Quranic in its origins, and the Imam stood for the dignity of all human beings, and he influenced us. But he didn't pick it up as a blind patriot. He picked it up as an informed patriot, understanding that what God had given us was capable of taking this American experiment closer to perfecting the democratic experiment, the democratic union. Brother, look, what you said was dead on point, and I marvel at your strength in not playing games on the sheer level of mano-mano when it comes to defending what the imam stood for. May God bless you for that kind of determination.
Thank you, my dear brother, and let me take leave of you so you can enjoy your family as we have enjoyed you. You've indeed prepared a great meal for us. Let us now sup on it and digest it. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lot. Remember, we're going to take up the challenge of people who are slandering our convention. We're going to discuss that tomorrow. We're going to follow up Sunday with business of survival. Monday, we will have a discussion again of the convention and the support for Mosque Kid. Tuesday, I will be interviewed by Sister Cora Kadar. And Wednesday, we will have Reconnection. Thursday, we will interview two physicians in the community, one veteran physician and one young physician, and we're going to talk about the business of medicine. Dr. Zakir Rashid will be our guest, along with Dr. Tony Halameen. So we have some power-packed programs. We'll return Friday with Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, and we'll be back again the following Saturday with Youth Dialogue. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lot. Take your pill and go to sleep.